The story I'm going to tell you this morning is the story of David and Goliath. It's one of my favorite stories. You'll see. It's a kind of friendly story and a relaxing story. All you have to do is enjoy yourself. My wife told me that she thought I should pick a heavier theological story because I'm going to be at Dallas. And she said, maybe you could do one of your, heavier stories. And I told her that I know a lot of people that graduated from Dallas, and I think this will be right up your alley, this story. She told me not to say that, too, so we'll take that tape off. This story is called Me and the Big Boy, and it's the story of David and Goliath. Ladies and gentlemen, David, the King of Israel. Well, I'm glad they were able to get all of you here this morning because there's something that's been really bothering me. There's some stories going around the kingdom about the battle between myself and Goliath, and I wanted a chance to set the record straight. Now, in order for you to really understand what happened during that day, I need to take you back to the very beginning. And the story of the battle between myself and Goliath starts in the fields at Bethlehem. Now, a lot of you know my father, Jesse. He was a shepherd. And when I was a young boy, I used to be out in the fields watching the sheep. And that's actually where the story of the battle between myself and Goliath starts. One day, I was out in the fields with the sheep when I heard this roaring behind me. Actually, more like a hurr! And when I heard that, I was afraid to turn around. But when I did, I saw a lion. A big lion. And since this lion was not in the zoo at Jerusalem, I thought that might be a problem. So I decided to take a quick inventory. One 12-year-old boy, one stick, one big lion. Conclusion. This is a very bad problem. But then I remembered something. I remembered that God was always with me, and if I called out to him, he would come and help me. So I took that stick and I closed my eyes and I said, God, please help me. And I turned around and bam! And when I opened my eyes, the lion was taking a nap. And as I got closer, I realized that he had also stopped breathing. Then I saw that I had stopped breathing as well. I immediately took a big breath, felt better, and learned something. I knew that God was with me, but now I knew if I called out to him, he would come and help me. And that was the first time God responded to my call. The second time was very similar to the first. I was out in the fields at Bethlehem again when I hear this behind me. This time when I turned around, it was a bear. Rather, large bear, who was trying to frighten me with his growling. He succeeded. But I wasn't as scared as the first time because I knew that if I called out, God would come and help me. So I took that stick and I closed my eyes and I said, God, please help me! And I turned around and bam! And when I opened my eyes, the bear was taking a nap. And like the lion, he had also stopped breathing. And it was then I realized something, that it didn't matter who was coming to frighten me or what was bothering me. If I called out to God, he would come and help me. That was just a few years later that I was out in the fields again. You know, Bethlehem is a very small town and there's not much to do. When my father, Jesse, came to see me. It seems that Saul, the Saul who was the king before me, that Saul, he had been experiencing a drop in popularity at the polls. And in order to boost his ratings, he decided he was going to take the entire army of Israel on a camping trip. Now, the place he chose for that was called Ephes Damim, which loosely translated means a really cool camping place. The only problem was, had Saul checked with his travel agent, he would have realized the place was already booked. It seemed the Philistines wanted to camp there as well. And that's how the whole Goliath story started. My dad told me that he wanted me to go down to the camp and see how my brothers were doing. And he gave me a large block of cheese and a bag of cereal and sent me down to camp. Made my way down there, and when I got there, I found the camp director, gave him the food, and said, "Sir, would you happen to know where my brothers might be?" "Jesse's kids? They have one of the best spots. They're way down by the front." I walked down to go find my brothers, and when I got there, we started talking about, you know, nothing. Mom and Dad and everything happening at home. When all of a sudden, in the middle of our conversation, all the campers around me started to yell, "It's him! Look! It's him!" That was the first time that I saw Goliath. He was huge. All decked out in the latest Armani battle gear. Thin lapels, three buttons. He was gorgeous, dressed to kill. Bronze helmet, bronze breastplate, bronze shin guards, which led to his nickname, Bronzy, which has led some people to speculate that he might have been Italian. Absolutely untrue. He was a Philistine all the way. He steps out in the center of the two armies. Now, in Hebrew, they called him the Ish HaBenim, which literally means the man in the middle. By the way, this is where we get that saying from, "Let's cut out the middleman." Comes from this. He steps out in the center of the two armies, and he looks at all the campers in the army of Israel, and he says to them, "Hey, yous! Hey, all the yous in the army of Israel, what are you all so scared about?" Tell you what, why don't you send one of your big guys out here and we'll have a little fight and see who wins, huh? Well, when all the campers in the army of Israel heard that, they were terrified. And they started to run off in all different directions. But before they left, there was something that I just had to know. And I grabbed one of the men near me and I said, sir, excuse me. Would you happen to know, is there any kind of a prize for a man who can kill that giant? And the man said to me, there are three things that will be given to the man who can kill that giant. The first, he will receive a large amount of cash ola. Wow, that was a great start. Second thing that will be given to the man who can kill that giant is that he shall be allowed to marry the king's daughter. She was a righteous babe. And the third thing that will be given to the man who can kill that giant is that neither he nor his family shall ever pay taxes in the land of Israel again. And I said, sir, where do you sign up for that? Now, my brother Eliab heard that conversation, and when he did, he was furious. You know, there's always a little tension between us because I was the youngest brother and he was the oldest brother. But when he heard that, he just lost it. Who do you think you are? What are you doing down here? You know, I know why you came down here. You just wanted to see if anybody got killed. You're supposed to be home watching the sheep. You're just no good at all. And he went on and on, and I didn't say anything to him. He didn't know anything at all about the lion and all about the bear, and I just let him go on. Well, while he was yelling at me, word of what I said got to Saul, and Saul sent for me. Now, when I got inside his tent, it was the first time I realized how big he actually was. You know, behind his back, a lot of the soldiers called him Tall Saul, which he really didn't care for. And as a matter of fact, that's how he became king. One of the main reasons was that he was a head taller than anyone else in the land of Israel. Well, when I got into his tent and he saw me, he was shocked. "Are you the kid that wants to fight the giant? Hey, kid. You have any mirrors in your apartment? Did you ever take a good look at yourself?" You're a little kid. He's a big giant. You can't fight him. So I told Saul. I told him all about the lion and all about the bear and how to me, this giant was just like one of them. Now, the whole time I'm talking, I can see Saul thinking about what I'm saying because he had a bad problem. You know, most of the soldiers in the army of Israel thought, if the Philistines want to send their big guy against us, we should send our big guy against them. But Saul was afraid. And I could almost hear him thinking, let's see. This little kid wants to fight that big giant. What's the worst thing that could happen? Kid gets killed. Hey, kid, you can go and fight that giant. And then he offered me his sword. And I took it and, oh, there was no way I was going to be swinging this thing around. So I just told him, no, thank you. And he said, kid, why don't you at least take my armor? So he helped me on, and I put his armor on, and when I did, I really wasn't that mobile. So I decided I wouldn't take anything from him. And I went down to the river, and I got 5 smooth stones, and I put them in my pocket. I grabbed my stick, I grabbed my sling, and I went out to look for Bronzy. Now, it wasn't really hard to find him. I mean, he was really big and shiny in the sun, and when I saw him, I said to him, hey, giant, why don't you come over here and I'll give you a beating? Well, when he heard that, he was angry. And he said to me, yous are going to give me a beating? What do you think I am, some little puppy dog? You're going to hit me with your stick? I'll tell you what, why don't you come over here and I'll give you a beating? And when I finish beating you, I'm going to mash you into a little bird feeder. And then he called me some bad names. Now, as far as I'm concerned, there's never an excuse for bad language. So when I heard him say that, I said, giant, I want you to come over here, and when you do, I'm going to give you a beating. And when I do, the entire world will know that there is a God in Israel. Well, that was the end for him. He was furious. And he started to run towards me, and he was so big. I'm telling you, I could feel the ground shake. And he was so sure that he was going to beat me that he never took his sword out. Now, that was bad. But I'll tell you the big mistake he made. He never put down the visor on his helmet. And that was going to cost him. I saw him running towards me, and I thought to myself, no sense in waiting till he gets here. So I put a stone in my sling and whoosh, flies through the air. Boom! It hits Bronzy right in the head and down he goes. And I went over to him and he was taking a nap. And as I got even closer, I saw he wasn't breathing. So I thought it might be a good idea if I cut his head off and showed it to all the other campers. So I picked, and I showed it to all of his friends. Now, when Goliath's friends saw what happened to him, they started to run home. And when all the campers in the army of Israel saw what happened, they all came up to me, and they started to slap me on the shoulders, and they said, how in the world could you beat a giant like that? So I told them. I told them all about the bear and all about the lion and how when I called out to God, he would come and help me. Well, they were so excited by that news that they got up and they chased Goliath's friends all the way home. And it was a really long time before they came back to bother us again. I know. You've heard this story before. You studied the story. But you never heard the real version of what happened. And that's why I wanted you here today, so I could set the record straight. And as exciting as that story is, I'll tell you the best part, the most exciting part. The God that I serve, He's the same God that you serve. And I don't care what is bothering you. And I don't care who's frightening you. Because I can promise you something. If you call out to God, He will come and help you. And I know, because that's always been my experience. I get so excited when I tell that story and think about all the action that happened that I lose track of time. And I promised Bathsheba that I was going to take her down to a lot for the weekend. And if I'm late, king or no king, it's not such a big deal being at the palace. So if you'll excuse me, I'm going to take her down as I promised. But before I leave, I want you to remember the most important thing. Something bothering you? Someone frightening you? Doesn't matter. You call out to God, and He will come and help you. That I can promise you. Shalom.